it's amazing how the Lord does things and kind of weaves things together. And, you know, as you go along, as we go along, there's themes that pop up in our lives, certainly in our congregation. And one of the themes that's popping up in the book of Matthew, as we're going through it, you know, systematically going through the entire book, is the theme of discipleship, right? You can't help but notice it. We're going to talk about it today. And I love how it all corresponds with what we're doing. You know, with the Talmidim class, that last year was the first time we had provided the Talmidim class, and we had a tremendous showing as people participated in it. And so I just want to personally encourage all of you to go to it. You may be thinking, well, I'm already a disciple. I'm already a Talmid, right? But, you know, this can be a class for someone who's new in the faith. This can be a class for someone that's very mature in the faith. Because really what it's all about is coming to know the Lord and then getting discipled in the Lord and becoming a follower. And that is really where we're going today with the message. Is the title is the transformation of a Talmid, the transformation of a disciple. You and I undergo a transition and a transformation when we become disciples of Yeshua. And we're going to see it. The passage today is Matthew 10, verses 1 through 15. In Matthew 10, 1 through 15, we see Messiah Yeshua having instructed his followers, his Talmidim, his disciples. He now sends out his followers, okay? And that's a big part of being a Talmidim, right? Or a Talmid. So in this short passage, we actually do see a progression of the disciples, how they grow and develop as followers of Yeshua. And so in it, we can see how you and I should grow as disciples of Messiah Yeshua. Studying his word, certainly, growing in our understanding, but going beyond that, and many people don't go beyond that, going beyond that to applying that knowledge to our everyday lives. Amen. You know, many people have a lot of head knowledge about the Lord, but they don't have a lot of practical walking out knowledge of the Lord. This is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, right? Walking it out for his glory. That's what we're going to look at today. Matthew 10, verse 1. Let's go there. We're going to start with verse 1. Okay, so Yeshua is talking. He has gotten him to the point where he's ready to send out the 12. This is talking about the 12 now. Verse 1, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Pretty cool, huh? Sends him out. What is very interesting to look at here, if you dig in a little bit, and I've been going through a lot of different commentaries this year to try to glean some information from the book, because the book of Matthew is just chock full of great stuff, and there's a lot of good scholarship on the book of Matthew, both in the Christian world, certainly, and in the Messianic Jewish world. And I'm constantly referring to Rabbi Barney Kasdan, who wrote a fantastic commentary on Matthew, and he pointed something out that I thought was great to look at here. Wording. Wording is important, right? Words are important. It's really interesting to see the different wording ascribed to the Talmidim in these verses. In verse 1, the word used when it says he called to him his 12 disciples, right? The word is disciples. Of course, it's Greek. In the Greek, it's mathetes, mathetes. What that means, and it's translated as loosely as disciple in our English Bibles. What that means, if you translate the meaning of it, it means a learner, a pupil, or a student. So the idea is when we become disciples of Yeshua, we first must become learned in the things of the Lord, right? How can you be sent out to go and do things for God in his name if you don't know about God? So the very first step is to be a disciple, or in Greek, mathetes, which is a pupil, a student. So that's how Yeshua calls them in verse 1. They studied under the rabbi for 3 years, right? They walked with him as he went around and did all of his itinerant preaching throughout the land of Israel. They listened for how he said things. They watched for how he did things. They were absorbing everything. It was like a time of study for them, a time of learning. And in that time of learning, and in that time of studying, It wasn't just like, ah, you know, you're just standing there and the glory spout is just like filling you up, right? It's like drinking from the fire hose or something. That's part of it, certainly. But also, they were learning how to be disciples. They were potentially making mistakes, struggling with concepts. You know, Yeshua didn't say anything really new, but he transformed the way that they understood the scriptures because he came with power and authority. So they were grappling with, how do I interpret that? What is he saying? What do I do? That's not how I learned, you know, when I was younger. So they're struggling with things. They're trying to apply these truths to their lives. And the Gospels record a lot of this stuff. If you read through the Gospels, you have things like Peter struggling, right? We know that Peter struggled. Remember that whole thing about, get behind me, Satan? It's pretty harsh criticism. He was struggling with this stuff. Or we think of Thomas, right? When Yeshua ascends, or he's risen from the dead before he ascends to heaven. He's walking around, he's talking with them, and Thomas doubts, right? So they're struggling, they're working through what this is all about. They were learning, they were disciples. So in our lives, we go through these same things as disciples. You know, we think when we start hitting the bump in the road, We think when we start struggling with faith issues, struggling with thinking about how the scriptures should be applied, that we're somehow unholy or we're not getting it. You know, the disciples struggled too. So you and I are in good company. If you're struggling with things in your life, trying to figure out how this fits into your life, you're in good company because that's what the disciples were doing. That's what they were doing for 3 years. Life as a disciple doesn't just automatically happen. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:15. Life as a disciple and the learning part of it means making mistakes, struggling, falling down, and getting back up. And it's learning how, when everything doesn't go right, how you're going to pivot, how you're going to course correct, how you're going to learn something new and apply it to your life, and maybe turn the way that you were going. You know, many of us get this thing in our head where we're supposed to go this way, we're supposed to have this job, we're supposed to, you know, do this thing, and God may be saying, you know, I'm trying to pivot you, and you're not listening, right? Has anybody ever had that? You don't have to raise your hand. Has anybody ever struggled? Has anybody ever fallen down when they're trying to learn? We all do. Life as a disciple doesn't just automatically happen. It takes effort. It takes work. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We rightly handle the word of truth. We present our best to God when we work at it. It doesn't mean right out of the gate you're just going out there and doing all this stuff. It means you're learning. You're growing. Point number one, we're first called to learn from God. You know, it's like a baby, right? Before you can go running, you have to start crawling. Before you can walk, you have to crawl. So there's steps, there's progression, and there is in our life. First, we're called to learn from God. People always think, well, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've been a believer 2 weeks. I'm ready to go, you know, or sometimes we say, I've been a believer 20 years, I'm ready to go, and you're still not ready to go, maybe. You know, first we have to learn. Unfortunately, people many times don't have patience when it comes to this. And guess what they want to do? They want to run ahead for God, but they've got these glaring issues in their life that they haven't worked on. And it's going to hinder their walk, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. We all have planks in our eyes. You and I are going to be picking out planks for the rest of our life, right? But the key is to continue to pick out the planks as God reveals it to us or God uses other people to reveal it to us. You know, people want to just go out there and, you know, in their lives and they want to go and be God's emissaries on the earth. And of course, we're supposed to do that. But first, you got to figure out what God is all about. Then you start taking out the planks. You start taking out more planks. But you know what you need? You know what I need? We all need as we're doing this? We need a teachable spirit. Because many times people go out of the gate and they're like, I've learned it all. I've been here. I'm good. I'm going to go out and do great things for the Lord. But you know what? We've got to learn. We've got to go out and be ready to go out so that when we go out, we're going to be image bearers. We're going to be standard bearers of the Lord, right? So we have to take those planks out and kind of grow. And that means responding well to correction, growing first, learning how to walk, learning the Bible. Many of us have maybe never read the Bible through all the way. Well, maybe take some time to develop a reading plan. And, you know, you could start. It's not January 1st, but you could still start. What is it? March 5th now. You could start tomorrow, March 6th. There's so many reading plans out there. But we can start reading, we can start learning, we can start growing, we can start being Talmidim under the Lord. Now, let's go back to our passage here, Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 and 4. So in verse 1, he's about to send them out. He calls them learners, Talmid. We are learners, disciples. Verse 2, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Those are the 12 disciples, or the original 12. Now, once again, let's zero in on wording. Okay, wording is important, critically important. In verse 1, the disciples are called disciples, learners, students, pupils. In verse 2, he called them something different, didn't he? What did he call them? He called them apostles. Different Greek word. a Greek word here is apostolos. Of course, it means apostles, right? We translate it as apostles. Apostle means something far different than Talmid or disciple. Apostle means a delegate or a messenger, a delegate or a messenger. And if you look at the Hebrew, I know this is written in Greek, but if you look at the Hebrew for the word apostle, in Hebrew it's shlechim, and shlechim means emissary. So apostle, emissary, same thing. But it is a very different description. An emissary is a direct representative of the person that is being sent by the emissary. He or she carries the words of the sender, but more importantly, it's even more than that. They carry the authority. Remember how Yeshua says, I'm giving you authority to go out? They're carrying the words of the sender, but also the authority of the sender as a direct representative. Now, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. This is important to get this distinction here between, and we're all supposed to be Talmid or disciples, yes, but we're also all called to be emissaries and apostles. Now, I'm just going to keep turning to Colossians 3:17. I'm going to make this caveat. You know, a lot of people go around calling themselves apostles. You got to be careful, all right? Because sometimes people can ascribe that to this high position. But the essence of what an apostle is you're a direct representative of Yeshua, or you're an emissary of Yeshua. And I like how Colossians 3:17 words this. It says, talking about us, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, and do everything in the name of. This is important. When you go out in someone's name, you're speaking for them, right? So-and-so told me to tell you. Well, you're talking about what so-and-so said. So when you go in someone's name, you're going basically as that person. You're speaking for them. You're communicating for them. And remember, communication is 10% verbal, right? Have you ever heard that before? 90% nonverbal. So when we're going out, we better be ready to go out, because it's not only just saying words that we, you know, read here. It's our mannerisms. You know, are you smiling? Or are you just going like, you know, God loves you? I mean, who's going to want to listen to that? You know, we have to communicate the essence of Yeshua. We're his emissaries. We're speaking for him. We're representing him when we go out. Point number two, we're called to represent God. Now listen, you and I are called to represent him. We're not called to just sit back and learn all the time, although learning is a lifelong process, don't get me wrong. But we're called to take the next step as well. We're called to go out and be his emissaries. We're called to go out and represent God. Many people get stuck in the learn stage in their spiritual walk, and they never move to the represent stage. And representation means something. It's very important. And I want to give you just one example of how you and I have this very, very important job to go and speak the very words of Yeshua, right? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. I want to give you one example in the Bible where this is definitely the case. Matthew 4, 17 is at the very beginning of the book. It's at the very, very beginning of Yeshua's earthly ministry. And we read, really, the first words that Yeshua says are right here. Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Yeshua began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, I want you to keep that in your mind. And now I want you to turn into our passage today to Matthew 10, verse 7. As the disciples are becoming emissaries and being sent out, what do they hear? Matthew 10, 7. Yeshua's words to them. "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." They were entrusted to say the very same words that Yeshua was saying when he came. That's powerful. You and I are entrusted to say and do the very same words and things that Yeshua did when he walked the earth, if we are to be his emissaries. Now, that's a big responsibility. That's a big charge. We're called to represent God, though. Okay, let's go now. You were at verse 7. Go back to verse 5 now in the passage. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. "These 12 Yeshua sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Now, we've heard that before. We read that before. And something that jumped out to me, and I thought this was a really great point here, is Yeshua sends them out. This is really when he first sends them out, okay? And he says only go to Jewish people. Now, remember, there was Gentiles throughout the land of Israel as well. Rome controlled Israel. There was centurions, and there was all these Roman officials. There was people from all over the world that were there. Many of them were not Jewish. So they were told to go just to the Jewish people. And you could say, well, doesn't that sound exclusionary? Isn't the whole point to go to the whole world with the message? Well, yes, it is. And let's read about that. Because later on, go to the very end of the book of Matthew now. We're going to contrast what he says in verses 5 and 6. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Now, many of you are familiar with these words, if not all of you. These words are the words of the Great Commission. It says here in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So what's the deal? Why are there two different messages here? First, he sends them out and says, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he also says in a different place, go to all the world and make them disciples unto me. The answer is, it's not two different messages. It's just timing. God's timing and his plan is developing, okay? We don't understand that because in our culture today, we want it all and we want it now, right? Do you remember the Queen song? "I want it all and I want it now." And that's the theme of this world. It's a theme of our culture. We want it all, and if we can't get it in the next 5 minutes, we don't want it. We can scroll to the next thing. We can go to the next drive-thru. We have been conditioned to not have any patience. Adonai has a plan. The plan does include us individually, each of you and I. It includes our families. It includes this congregation and all other congregations that serve him and bring him glory. It includes kingdoms and nations. Yes, it includes the whole world. Israel, certainly. And God has this really cool thing, and it's his timing of everything. If he wanted to get to the end of the book right away, he would have just skipped all the other 60-something books between Genesis and Revelation. But he doesn't do that. And he doesn't skip the last thousands of years because he's got a timing and he's got a plan. And we need to get out of our mindset about everything now. I want it all and I want it now, to we should want it in God's timing. So we need to stop being tuned into our timing and start being tuned into God's timing. There has been always a progression through Scripture. It has been unfolding from creation to Sinai to Israel the nation, to Yeshua, to the disciples, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then finally all throughout the entire world. But it is one of progression. And we know this through Scripture, right? One Scripture about this, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Many of you know this. This is Rob Scholl speaking here. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, what's that all about? Why is he being exclusionary? Why is he making Jews preferential? It's part of God's plan and timing. You and I are not God. It could have said, I'd like to say this all the time, it could have been to the Koreans first. It could have been to the Italians first. It could have been to the Brazilians first, but it was to the Jews first. That's just what it is. We just have to accept that, right? That's God. And unfortunately, people over the centuries have not been willing to accept that. But that's a whole other story. God's plan has always been to first go to the Jewish people, the people that he created, that he brought out and created as a nation, and then the whole world. Now remember, when Rob Shuttle was going around and he was doing all of his journeys, right, where he was making disciples, what was he doing? Yes, he was going out to all the other nations where there's primarily Gentiles, but if you go through the book of Acts systematically, you'll see what he did. He first, every time he goes into a city or town, what did he would do? He would go to the synagogue, wouldn't he? And he would talk to the Jewish people there. And he would reason with them. And he would show them the scriptures concerning Yeshua the Messiah from, not the New Testament, wasn't there, from the Tanakh, from the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. And then he would go out to the squares and to the people. Everybody. But it was a progression. It was a timing. We know that God's timing is perfect. We have to understand there's a lot of things about God's timing we'll never know. You may be saying to yourself, well, why? Why did God, I'm praying for my family to come to know the Lord. Why hasn't it happened yet? I'm praying for that job for so long. Why hasn't it happened yet? God has a timing and a purpose, and we don't have to know it. We just have to trust that he knows it. Now I want you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, I'm going to give you a minute to turn there. One of the minor prophets. I want you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. He is God, we're not. He knows it all, we don't. That's okay, because he'll reveal it to us, his Talmidim, as we need to know. We're on a need-to-know basis with God. I'm glad I'm on a need-to-know basis with God. I can't handle everything if he told me everything right now. I don't want to know everything right now. I just want to know what my God gives me to handle right now. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. And there's other scriptures that speak about, you know, how a day is 1,000 years to God. You know, we think, oh man, hurry up and come back, Yeshua. He's got a plan, he's got a timing. Point number three, God's plans and timing are perfect. He may send you out today, and he may send you out for a very specific purpose. That's okay. Go do that specific purpose. Tomorrow it might be another thing, but we have to be in tune with his perfect plan and timing for our lives. And this, like I said, should give us great comfort because we don't need to know it all. We'll get it when we need it. We just need to understand the peace that we're given today. Many of us worry about tomorrow. Today, you should worry about today. Focus on today. Okay, back to our passage, Matthew chapter 10. And let's go to the last few verses in the passage today, which are verses 11 through 15. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Wow. Key in with me on verse 13. When you enter the house, let your peace come upon it. What's that mean? The peace that he's talking about is the shalom of Yeshua. It's not your peace, it's the shalom of him. It's not your friendliness, your smiling greeting, all of your efforts to get somebody to know the Lord, even though that's all good, but it's His shalom. We have to remember that we are not to be the ruach, the spirit to people. We're not to beat people over the head with Yeshua. Give them the word, you know, as you're able to interact with people. And you interact with all sorts of people every day that are not believers. Give them the word, but you know what? All in God's timing and purpose. And you could be the most charismatic. You could be the most friendly. You can be the most, I don't know, you could sell, what is the term? You could sell ice cubes to an Eskimo. Isn't that a term? Something like that. Whatever. You get the picture. You could sell anything. But unless God wants it to happen, unless God is in it, unless it's part of His perfect timing, it's not going to happen. Listen, we have to have the shalom of God. We have that shalom of God, which is the reconciliation of the Creator of the heavens and the earth with a personal relationship with us. That shalom has to go out. We're talking about salvation, forgiveness of sins, all of that. And those that accept it get the true peace, joy, the shalom of God. Those that don't, do not, okay? And we should not, though, underestimate what this peace is, what this shalom is. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 12. This peace that we're talking about, the shalom of Yeshua, this is life. It's really a question of life or death. There is not many ways to God. There's not many religions that get you to heaven. There is one way. There is one peace. There is one shalom. And it is a question of life or death. John chapter 8, verse 12. Life or death, darkness or light. Again, Yeshua spoke to them, John 8, 12. Again, Yeshua spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Okay? This is the flashlight that never goes out. Okay? This is the cell phone that never runs out of charge when you're trying to go and find yours, because everybody uses this as a flashlight now, I think. This is the light of the world. This is Yeshua, okay? The light. So Yeshua is telling us in John chapter 8, verse 12, I'm the light of the world. I'm the very light of life, right? And it's life or death, choosing Yeshua or not choosing Yeshua. But now we get to another interesting scripture, and this is our theme verse, which you can read as you go out in the foyer area, the banner there. And it says this, Matthew 5:14, if you turn there with me. Now remember, Yeshua is the light of the world. So then Matthew 5:14 says this, you are the light of the world, meaning you and I. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So in this verse, Yeshua is talking about us, and we're the light. So which one is it? Is He the light, or are we the light? Both. The answer is both. Yeshua is the light of the world. He is the revelation. He is Mashiach, Redeemer, Reconciler, Lord, Savior. When we become His disciples and His emissaries, we bring people the light of the world, because that light is in us now. So we are the light of the world, meaning you've got Yeshua's light shining in you. It doesn't mean go out and shine your own, you know, sunshine and happiness. Some people are happier than others. Some people are friendlier than others. It means go out and shine His light to this world. His light. Our lives should reveal the light of Yeshua. And that's point number four. We're called to reveal God. The thing that we need to strive for is not the learning. The learning's great, but it's step one. The thing that we should strive for is to be revealing God in our lives. Have you gotten to the place as an emissary and a disciple of Yeshua that God's light just emanates from you? And it's not mixed with your light. It's God's light. Are you shining brightly? Are you a vessel for the light of God? We are called to do nothing less than reveal God to people. We're image bearers. We're light bearers. We're representatives of Yeshua Himself. This is a high calling. And I believe, you know, we're talking about discipleship a lot. We have the Talmidim class coming up. Yeshua is focusing heavily as He's sending out the disciples on discipleship. It's not enough to know Him. Of course we all have to know him. That's step one, like I said. But, you know, the Bible says that even the demons know God, right? Even the demons, James chapter 2, verse 19, you don't have to turn there, but James 2, verse 19 says, even the demons believe in God. It's not enough to believe in God. We have to move past the knowledge and information from God and move to be transformed by God in our lives so that we shine the light of Yeshua, so that we are his image bearers, and so we become his true emissaries in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you because none of us are truly there yet. We know that. We mess up all the time. We struggle all the time. We fall down and we have to pick ourselves back up, or you have to pick us up, Lord. But I just pray, Lord, as we dig into the scriptures today, as we dig in throughout this year, as we have things like the discipleship class, that people, Lord, that we would all come to want to go deeper with you and move past the head knowledge and move to the application. That means learning how to be gentle at times to people. But it also means having discernment and wisdom and understanding to do battle sometimes. We have to be like lambs and like lions at times. But that only comes from understanding you and applying your words and your ways to our lives. So I pray, Lord God, that people would be transformed here on the live stream, throughout, Lord, our community, that we pray for transformation for people, that people would go past the head knowledge and move on to the heart knowledge and the soul knowledge of you. So I just pray for our community today. Strengthen us in the faith. Strengthen us in our passion to go out for you. Guide us in that walk. Lord, you're sending us out. Help us, Lord God, to be image bearers. Help us to reveal you. We thank you, God. We praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen.